Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the 446th edition of Feuerstein's Fire, pardon me, American Soccer Show. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein. I'll give you an American perspective of our clubs, leagues, players, national team, and other fabulous moments. You can get your daily reading from me and other writers over at onceametro.com and the rest of the SB Nation family of soccer websites. Come on in. Chat room is open. You can talk to me, talk amongst yourselves if you like. You have a question for me, I'll try to answer it to the best of my abilities. Let us go ahead as the sports world, of course, is mourning the loss, the tragic loss of former Los Angeles Lakers guard and NBA legend, living legend, was a living legend now, Kobe Bryant, and of course him and his daughter Gianna, sadly, tragically died in the helicopter crash as the helicopter started to take off. The engine, the motor died, and then it went to a very violent nosedive and smashed into the wall of a cliff in Ceballos, California, just north of Los Angeles. And while obviously Kobe Bryant is a legend in the game of basketball, the truth is that he was also a fan of the world's game. Obviously, as a boy living in Italy, as his father played in European basketball and the Italian league, he was a fan of the game. His club is, of course, AC Milan. He has worn shirts from Barcelona and other clubs. What he also wore was the USA jerseys, men or women. It didn't matter if it was the men, if it was the women. Kobe Bryant supported the game as a whole. Kobe Bryant supported the game as a whole, and at the same time, he supported the game in this country. When you lose a man like that, who not only was a basketball wizard, a basketball legend, but loved the game of soccer, loved the game of football, and was a part of it, who understood it, spoke it as well, and had the skills to possibly be a soccer player. Even though you'd like to think, what if he was a soccer player instead of a basketball player? Could he have done more? Could he have been a part of our national team? Obviously, we'll never know because his passion for basketball was is equally loved as his passion for the game of soccer was for him at the same time. But obviously, you know, being in the NBA, it's a big, big deal. His name resonated not just in the city of Los Angeles, but everywhere around the United States and Canada and across this earth. Kobe Bryant will be missed. And unfortunately, not only will he be missed, but obviously his daughter Gianna will be missed as she was with him in that helicopter crash. And sadly, she lost her life as well. So here, Feuerstein's Fire, American Soccer Show, Kobe Bryant, and to the entire Kobe Bryant family survived by his wife and his two other daughters, you know, we send our condolences to you here at the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show, and we will miss Kobe Bryant very much, not just as an ambassador for the game of basketball, but also as a man that loved this game called football. But we have also lost an incredible human being that we will never, ever get back. So that is all for that. Now let's move on to another part of the intro monologue I want to talk about. The Los Angeles Galaxy have signed Javier Hernandez, Chicharito, of course, to a big deal. And then, of course, he talks about in a video which was broadcasted that he's going to the retirement league. He's coming to MLS. Now, you know, we see this, you know, in the early 30s, a man that still has plenty to give in the club level. And at the same time, I still think he can still give his time to the Mexican national team on the international level. I still believe that Chicharito, Javier Hernandez, of course, is a player that can and probably still can dominate on the ball, with the ball. Look at Zlatan Ibrahimovic, what he did at his age. And he, I mean, my goodness, I mean, that's a specimen right there. Granted, he didn't like the playoff system, but you know what? He knew when to perform. He knew when to give and score goals that made his name sing, not just in Los Angeles, but across this league and everyone's eyes on this league. His first goal was that amazingly long-distance rip against LAFC on the comeback trail, being down 3-1. And then he just blasted in 2 goals to make it 3-3. Sure, LAFC finally beat the Galaxy in the playoffs, but in the regular season, there's nothing. But the one thing people are complaining about, or those I want to complain about, that Major League Soccer is a retirement league, yes and no. Yes, I can understand it because the big-time stars have done enough already, playing for their clubs in Europe, playing for big-time clubs like in England, Germany, Spain, and Italy. You know, those are the most ruthless, demanding professional leagues in the world. No matter where you are, whether you're playing for Liverpool, Man City, Man United, Arsenal, Borussia Dortmund, Bayern Munich, Borussia Mönchengladbach, AC Milan, Inter Milan, Roma, Lazio, Barcelona, Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, and now it looks like Valencia is coming up up the rankings as well and up the ladder in La Liga. Those are the four big names, the four big countries that people want to crack into. It's okay to be in Scotland. It's okay to be in France. But those are the most demanding leagues in the world. And we have to understand that here in the United States, in Major League Soccer, while there is improvement coming, and we're seeing more Americans playing this game and they are being given an opportunity to perform, as basically almost every single club has a USL League side, whether it's in the Championship League or going to be in USL League One, the truth is that our talent is improving. They are now being given a chance, an opportunity to play for the best clubs in Europe. And even every once in a while, you'll get one of those depth chart moments still. These players are proving their worth now, and now the attacking players, Americans who are attacking players, they are getting an opportunity, more so in the Bundesliga than anywhere else of the four top nations in Europe. Of course, we all know about Christian Pulisic, now at Chelsea. Obviously, he's hurt at the moment, but still, though, seeing him perform at Chelsea shows you why they wanted to bring him in. Not because they're looking to sell shirts in the United States with his name on the back, but they see the potential he has to be a dominant player. Yes, Dortmund let him go. Yes, Dortmund wanted Sancho. Yes, Sancho's doing better over there. But still, though, We are seeing why Chelsea are giving him an opportunity. And now we are seeing attacking American players getting an opportunity to go out and show what they are made of. It's about time. More still needs to be done, but right now, I think we're in a good place when it comes to the American player. Hey, listen, Dortmund wanted him out, or they felt they couldn't keep him anymore? Fine. Look, thank you very much, Borussia Dortmund, for developing Christian Pulisic. Thank you for finding him and giving him the opportunity to play for your side. Because what Chelsea did, they said, you know what? We think this is our future player, and he'll be here for a good long time, hopefully, until he comes back to the States. But one thing is for sure. I think now we're seeing more respect to the American player on a club level. We're still a little frazzled on the international level, I believe, but you know what? When that gets fixed, everything will be right as rain once again. But until that time comes, as of right now, club-wise, I think attacking players, attacking American players, creative American players, we are at a better place now. We had an opportunity with Landon Donovan and Clint Dempsey. Many, many others. Of course, let's not forget Clint Mathis. The original generation that began with the 1994 World Cup team with Todd Ramos, with Eric Wynalda, with Marcelo Balboa, Tony Meola. Now that level has matured. Then, of course, you get Landon Donovan, Clint Dempsey, Brian McBride, DeMarcus Beasley, Tim Howard. And now that's been moved on to Michael Bradley and Jozy Altidore and Christian Pulisic. But when Michael Bradley and Jozy Altidore are no longer on this national team, who will join Pulisic? Well, obviously, Sargent, Lennon, Weah. I mean, we're seeing players now growing up. Tyler Adams is now a part of this. The next generation is coming. It's just the situation is a poor timed one because of being eliminated from qualifying for the World Cup in Russia two, three years ago. That's the most frustrating thing. The most frustrating thing. And now we got to go and find a new crop. Will they fit in the plans of Greg Berhalter? I would like to think they can. But now, as we get closer and closer to the spring, we don't have to worry about this friendly against Costa Rica in February. Because why? Because that's not the aim. It's when you get to the international calendar in March. That is when the real moments begin. And let's not forget this summer when we start World Cup qualifying, where we automatically go to the hex and the rest of CONCACAF is fighting to reach the international playoff, which I still find it to be stupid and dumb, but what are you going to do? This is a different World Cup. It is a different World Cup for a different time. And once again, I will pass along those sentiments when we get closer to 2022 and we go to November, December of 2022. But that it will be another time, another place. We're not going to worry about that right now. What we are going to worry about is what the American player are going to be for this trip to Qatar if they qualify. And then, of course, the World Cup trifecta hosting between the United States, Canada, and Mexico. Ladies and gentlemen, I got a great show for you tonight. The NPSL, the National Premier Soccer League, they are of course, one of the big leagues below MLS, but still, though, very soon, Open Cup will begin in March 24th and 25th. It's going to be a fun time, and joining me right now, some exciting plans and ideas are coming through here at the NPSL, and to join me is a member of that board of the NPSL, but he's also the owner of the Virginia Beach City FC. Mr. Steven Wagoner joins me right now to talk about the NPSL, the National Premier Soccer League. Mr. Wagoner, thank you for coming on tonight, and good evening, sir.
Oh, anytime. Thanks for having me.
Welcome aboard. Before we get talk about the league, let's talk about your club. How long has Virginia Beach City been around? And obviously, there's been many clubs in the Virginia Beach area that have been around there. Of course, we can't forget the Mariners. Back in the old days, the old USL. Yep. And how long has your club been around, and how many years in the NPSL?
You bet. Yeah. So we started in 2014. You know, there's a lot of great history in the Hampton Roads area, and I think when the last team was no longer coming back, the Piranhas, we kind of saw it as an opportunity to, you know, keep soccer alive and rolling in Hampton Roads. So yeah, we started in 2014 and had an exciting run.
Are you have you been playing at the Virginia Beach Sportsplex, or have you found a different venue?
Yeah, so it's the first, what was it, maybe 5-6 years, we played the Sportsplex, and then we ended up transferring over to Old Dominion University, one of their stadiums that they use. So that's been a great experience for us. Got a great fan experience, the game day attendance. We're really able to dress it up and make it our own, so that's ODU has been great to us.
That's fantastic to hear, and it sounds great that the obviously, you know, the Virginia Beach area still loves their soccer. We all know the Norfolk Tides, my AAA team, I believe, is now affiliated with the Baltimore Orioles, is in the vicinity as well. And you know, I've heard many great things about Virginia Beach being a very good sports town, whether it be, you know, minors, majors, doesn't matter what it is. It's a very upbeat area.
Yeah, you bet. It's funny. It's funny you say that. We actually had two guys. Great experience for them this summer. They both were playing on our team, Robbie and Shane, and they were able to get identification with Loudoun United. So they went from playing with VB City over the summer, playing with Loudoun, and then they got an opportunity. They got some games in with DC United. So they went from playing with us to playing with Wayne Rooney at Audi Field. So it's been quite a ride for some of these players.
I bet it is, and that's a wonderful job you've been doing right there in Virginia Beach with the club, and more success to you, hopefully, in the near future. Now, you're part of the Board of Governors with the NPSL. A lot
Yes, sir.
Of things have been going on, and what are some of these wonderful moments that you know, you're excited about for the future of the league, and where do you see the league moving forward? You go ahead and explain. I'd just like to know what's going on.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, we've put a lot of thought into it. I've actually been on the board for about 6 years now. A lot of great people that have helped contribute and lead, right? You know, everybody's a volunteer and it's got, a lot of great ideas for the NPSL. So one of the things we did this past year was we put together a 5-year plan. And in that plan, you know, it's kind of looking at the long term, but also, hey, how do we take care of our members currently, right? And so what we did was we put a platform together of where we want it to be in the next 5 years, and then some things that we can do short term as well to keep the NPSL growing.
And I've seen some of these clubs that you've brought in through expansion. Obviously, some of these clubs I've seen in like lower levels below the NPSL, GPSL, I think it is. You have some of those clubs that are in the around the Gulf. Like AFC Mobile in Alabama, what have they done? What have some of those clubs in those, like, even lower levels of American soccer, what have they done to add to, to make the NPSL a more attractive league?
Yeah, you bet. You know, I think that the beauty about the NPSL, obviously it's owner and member run, and there's an opportunity for teams of all different levels, right? You can operate at a higher end level or what we've seen with, you know, whether it's like the New York Cosmos, Miami FC, Detroit Chattanoogas, to name a few, right? And then you can operate at a lower level as well. know, so I think some of these teams coming in, they see the value in the platform that we've provided. You know, and we're thankful for that as well, because I think it's a win-win. You know, we're able to fill out some of our conferences and make new divisions and really provide a high-end product for these teams.
And, you know, once again, I mean, you know, I like the structure of the MPSL. Nothing against any of the other leagues, but I like how, you know, you're trying to make it everything competitive for everyone. I mean, you have at least four regions going on, the West region, the Midwest region, the South, the East. I mean, you know, how many conferences you have, it's just absolutely wonderful to see what is going on here. You just keep adding more conferences that make everything more and more attractive and competitive. Is that what is always the main crux of having the MPSL have every single year? You want more clubs to come in, more competition involved?
Yeah, you bet. You know, I think, you know, going back to your original point, you know, there's what's the saying? There's different strokes for different folks, right? You know, there's a ton of leagues and opportunities out there. I think what we tend to do is look and reflect on what we can do. You know, listening to our members and saying, you know, what else can we do to improve? But, you know, I think that's part of the value in the MPSL is that it is owner run. And so, you know, for us, it's not necessarily, hey, how big can we build this? I think what we're really focused on is how do you provide great quality? And then naturally, you know, I think the growth will continue to come with that.
No, absolutely. And why not? I mean, we'd like to see all leagues get bigger and better and see all these players get their fair share of an opportunity. Just to talk about, you know, when you have your clubs qualifying for the U.S. Open Cup, and hopefully Virginia Beach will qualify one day for the Open Cup again, or if you have already qualified at once. You know, that's a big tournament. Are you always sitting with U.S. Soccer to try and angle to get more clubs involved in the first round, make the first round a bigger and better draw, or at least to get more clubs to fight for those spots, or if there you can make more spots for that open round?
Yeah, you bet. You know, I think it's a two-way street. You know, one of the things that we've done, and U.S. Soccer has been, you know, welcomed us with open arms. We actually went out and met them in Chicago this past year and just had a sit down with them and, you know, kind of went through, hey, you know, what are they looking for? And, you know, what's their vision? I think when we can understand that you know, say, hey, look, now how do we add value back to the U.S. Open Cup? And fit into what they're looking for, right? I think that's where we can start to adjust it and try to continue to get more bids. One of the things that we're doing, and this is just a natural progression, right? As there's more teams in MLS, USL, could be NISA, right? Naturally, these earlier rounds, they start earlier. And so the problem that becomes is the college player that would normally start games, or you know, like a college-based team would start their games in May. And so one of the things that we're looking at is, you know, hey, can our teams field college players? I think that's a great opportunity for college players, but can we also have a base of players that aren't necessarily in college? So that way we can start and get more rounds earlier and earlier. But I think the beauty in that too is not just the Open Cup. I think what you're going to start to find is that the MPSL is going to continue to have teams that are going to be playing on more of a year-round basis or starting earlier, call it March, call it April. And so now we've got an opportunity to have longer seasons, and then nationally the Open Cup falls into that very nicely as well.
What's it like to have an MPSL club playing in a market where you have either it's an MLS club or a USL championship club? I mean, obviously you've got the Las Vegas Legends that are in the Southwest Conference in the West region. And, of course, you've got the Lights that are playing over at Cashman Field, you know, right now since the 51s have moved to a brand-new ballpark that they built for themselves. And, you know, you have some of these other teams that are playing, like, you know, even in where I am in northern New Jersey, I mean, you got a plethora of clubs. You know, you got Atlantic City that's outside of Philadelphia, FC Motown just outside of Red Bull Arena, and now, of course, Miami United outside of, like, Miami FC and Inter Miami, David Beckham's club. I mean, is this the hope that you're going to have, either, you know, friendly matches or when you get to those competitions that really matter, like the Open Cup? Is that what you're looking for? You want to get, you know, the blood boiling and everything?
Yeah, you know, I think I think a lot of teams, right, whether it's the players, the ownership group, the fans, I think that it first comes down to, hey, you know, what's available in the current markets? Is it MLS? Is it USL? Is it NPSL? You know, what team can they support and grab onto? And then naturally, you know, as that takes place, I think everybody wants to play the best, whether you're an MLS team playing another MLS team, or it's, you know, an NPSL level team that gets the opportunity to play maybe in the Open Cup or a friendly match against an MLS side, right? I think everybody's competitive, and that's the beautiful thing about it. You know, I think, you know, going back to what you're saying is having teams in major markets as well that, if I understood correctly, having an NPSL team in a major market, you know, I actually played both sides of the court there for a little bit because I was running two NPSL teams. One was in partnership with DC United, so it was DC United U23 NPSL, and I was running Virginia Beach City FC at the same time. And so that's where I was getting to see it from a major league standpoint, operating in a major league market with, you know, a lower level team that's affiliated with an MLS team. And then obviously completely different in Hampton Roads, you got 1.8 million people. And then we were the only game in town. So, you know, with both experiences, I think there's so much opportunity to keep continuing to grow the game. But I think that, you know, whether you're in a major metropolitan area or in a smaller town, even smaller than ours, What I keep finding is that you've got your passionate, you know, hardcore fans, whether it's moms and dads or local, you know, kids that are playing soccer or your soccer enthusiasts, and they just really want a team to support, you know, at the highest levels possible.
I'd like to go back to your club for a moment, please. Obviously, you're in the Mid-Atlantic Conference within the East region. You've got these clubs like Charlottesville Alliance, FC Baltimore Christos, which, of course, is the Christos FC Pyramid, FC Frederick, First State FC, the Maryland Bobcats, and Northern Virginia United. How competitive is this conference? And at the same time, how much of a plethora of talent is there in the Virginia, Maryland area, the DC area, that you can mine and create and develop for the bigger clubs, you know, once they move on?
Oh, yeah, you bet. No, it's a great question. I'm a little biased because I'm operating out of that area, obviously. But I tell you what, you know, when we first started, this was back in 2013, right? The Mid-Atlantic Conference didn't exist. And so one of the things, and it goes back to, you know, when I mentioned that I was running two teams. I got together with a couple owners in the area. And we all put teams in. We actually formed the Mid-Atlantic. I mean, in that year, that very same year, RVAFC, which was a Richmond-based team, went on and won the national championship. And so I think that just speaks volumes to the type of talent that's in the Mid-Atlantic area, whether it's Maryland, D.C., Virginia. But I tell you what, we've always been very fortunate to have teams go very far. I mean, if you look at Christos FC, right? I mean, they were able to play DC United in the U.S. Open Cup round, right? So there's just there's a ton of talent going around, whether it's, you know, the Richmond area, Virginia Beach area. I mean, we were fortunate. We got to play the Richmond Kickers in the Open Cup a few years back. So we're hoping to get back into that, back in the U.S. Open Cup as well. So, you know, I think whether it's Virginia Beach, whether it's, you know, Maryland, D.C., and it goes obviously in other places around the country, but there's definitely a lot of talent there that I think, you know, these players are looking for something more.
Now, out of my own curiosity, do you usually like cross conferences to play a game occasionally? Like, let's just say for the heck of it, pardon me, let's just say for the heck of it, you're going to face a Keystone Conference opponent in this year's schedule. I'm just throwing it out there, like whether it be Atlantic City or FC Monmouth. Do you play any cross conference matches?
You bet. You know, I think the way I've always looked at it is, you know, how do we continue to get more games in, right? I think that's a big thing for us. And I'll even expand it a little bit. You know, we're open to playing, you know, our local college teams, the local military teams, USL teams, right? Like for us, we just want to get good games in, you know, and have some opportunities. So in the past, what we've done, even when DC United, as an example, didn't put a team in the NPSL anymore. And I think they went USL and then they did kind of their own program. You know, we've always scheduled a home and away with them, you know, so we're planning to do other things with whether it's a USL club, you know, we're open-minded to UPSL clubs, NPSL clubs. But I think in an ideal world, I always look back to the customer. I said, you know, how do we get, you know, more opportunities where we can have, you know, a fan experience for them, you know, and can we start the season a little bit earlier? You know, can we start in April? Can we start in March? So that's how we're looking at it. But yeah, I mean, you know, I was in, at the convention in Baltimore. I ran into Atlantic City and their ownership group. And so, you know, obviously we were talking about things like that as well. So those conversations are always ongoing. And I think when we release our schedule in the next couple of weeks, you know, I think the fans are going to be really excited with some of the games that we put together.
I think so as well. And you know what? I mean, that's the hope here. I mean, look, we want to see all of our leagues prosper and be competitive. And we want to see our talented players get that opportunity to go out and show their stuff. I mean, why not? You know, I mean, obviously you'll get the, you know, friends and family of that certain player for the hometown team. But at the same time, you hope for the future as well. And the NPSL can hopefully... Yeah, you know, right now you're considering the amateur level, but still, though, I mean, you still have under 23 squads and everything else, but still, is that the dream to be a true professional league moving up?
Now, is that as far as Virginia Beach City FC, or is that from the NPSL standpoint?
Just no, on an NPSL level, actually. I should have clarified that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you bet. You know, I think for us, you know, we're very comfortable in at the level that we're, you know, from an NPSL standpoint, we're very comfortable in the level that we currently provide. You know, so mm-hmm. I think it really keeps coming down to, you know, how do we keep improving our product where, you know, you have more owners that want to put more teams in and more owners want to put more resources into their teams, which then naturally you've got players that want to stay with us. You know, I'll speak for us at Virginia Beach. Yeah, we house our players. We give them food and per diem, and we try to take care of these guys. We put a first class training facilities. You know, they've all got, you know, high end Adidas gear, and they're coming out. They're you know, they'll take charter buses to away games. So you know, I think when you start to look at it from a big picture, if you can keep, you know, increasing the resources that, you know, we're able to put into these teams, I think naturally, you know, that level is going to continue to increase. So I think the sky's the limit. You know, I'm wide open to see how this will go. You know, will we have a relationship with different professional clubs, you know, in future years? You know, that's definitely a possibility. Is that something that we do on our own? I wouldn't be able to tell you, but until we get there. But I think definitely right now, you know, I think we're really comfortable at the level that we provide and are very happy about, I think, the product that we're able to put on the field.
Absolutely, and I cannot wait to see all the positives happening for the NPSL. Mr. Wagoner, thank you for your time. I truly appreciate it. Good luck this year with Virginia Beach City FC, and good luck with the rest of the NPSL in 2020.
Sounds good. Well, thanks again for having us. Definitely appreciate it, and we'll definitely keep continue to tune in and listen to you guys. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Have a good night.
All right. Take care.
You too. Take care. Stephen Wagoner. He is the owner of Virginia Beach City FC and, of course, a member of the board of the National Premier Soccer League, the NPSL. Sounds like we got some exciting things going on with the NPSL. And at the same time, you know, great to see that there is a club in Virginia Beach. Remember, of course, the Hampton Roads Mariners, then, of course, becoming Virginia Beach Mariners. And, of course, it was kind of sad to see that club disappear, as I've always find it hard and difficult whenever a club disappears like that financially, of course, but it sounds like Virginia Beach City FC has really taken over the reins and is going to be there for a good period of time. Now, some news that came to me, I just found out about it about maybe hour or two hours ago through Twitter on CONCACAF's Twitter page. First things first, this is something that I'm very excited about and I'm very happy about because, once again, not only are we supposed to be celebrating wonderful things for the U.S. men's national team, but at the same time, American clubs involving themselves with international club competitions. And, of course, let's not forget what's going to happen now, you know, with Olympic qualifying coming up. It's a 3-year deal. As Fox Sports and CONCACAF agree, exclusive contract for 3 years, U.S. English language rights deal. And this was I just found out about a couple of hours ago. This has been 8 hours ago. So, you know, wonderful time going through. Now, of course, unfortunately, you know, I have I've got some things I have to take care of before I even find out about it, but I just found out about it a couple hours ago. And that means with the CONCACAF Women's Olympic Qualifying Tournament between January 28th, which that will start tomorrow, through February 3rd, which are the group matches, which will be over at BBVA Compass Stadium in Houston, Texas. Now, don't forget, they'll also be in Rio Grande Valley as well, at Edinburgh, Texas, where Rio Grande Valley plays at the HEB Park. You are going to see on television through Fox Sports the CONCACAF Women's Olympic Qualifying Tournament. This also constitutes the Men's Olympic Qualifying Tournament through CONCACAF. Yes, this will also be involving the CONCACAF Gold Cup, which will be for next summer and then in 2023. But what also is very exciting, and finally we have it back. We have it back on English language television. The 2020, this season, this year, 2021, and 2022, the CONCACAF Champions League, now on English language broadcast. Once again, you know, look, regardless of what you may think about the CONCACAF Champions League, the truth of the matter is this, is that this is very important. This has been very important to get on American language television, being broadcasted, whether it be on ESPN, NBC Sports Network, beIN Sports, or Fox Sports. And what did Fox Sports do? You know what? We have to step it up. They are a partner to broadcast MLS. They also are a partner to broadcast U.S. Men's National Team, U.S. Women's National Team, friendlies, qualifiers, now the Olympic qualifying tournament, and now you're bringing back the CONCACAF Champions League. This is important to watch. Because if we continue to watch our clubs in MLS, whether it be American or Canadian, and we have to go through TUDN all the time, and don't get me wrong, they do a great job broadcasting the game, whether it be the Mexican, the Mexican League, the FMF national teams, of course, the U.S. national teams, MLS as well, the Univision Deportes Sports Network. They do a great job, and nothing against them. But what really has bothered me, and this is being truthful. When you're covering the CONCACAF Champions League and you listen to the broadcasters, and 99.9% of the broadcasters have been fair and down the middle, because why? Because they are calling the game in a professional manner. They're doing a great job of calling these matches in the CONCACAF Champions League in a fair and professional manner. But you're going to get, once in a while, that rogue broadcaster. That rogue broadcaster who will only go crazy when it is a Liga MX side, where they should know that you're getting a national multilingual audience, not only who only speak Spanish, but of those that do speak English and are American. Case in point. Last year, as the New York Red Bulls were facing Santos Laguna down in Mexico, already down 2-0, and both goals at Red Bull Arena scored by Santos Laguna were away goals, the New York Red Bulls had to go down to Mexico and fight back, claw back, to try and either force a penalty shootout or score more away goals than Laguna. And within 9 minutes of the opening half, Omir Fernandez made it 2-1. Daniel Royer made it 2-2. The away goals were level. They were playing excellent. And the broadcaster in the first half, who was a woman, she did a great job of being fair and down the middle. And then when the second half comes, they changed broadcasters. The woman, I don't remember her name. But whoever it was, she did a fair job and a great job of calling the match down the middle. And then we get to the second half. And then the New York Red Bulls, sadly, because let's be fair here and let's be honest, the Mexican League sides, the Liga MX sides, they have less rules on them about player acquisitions, finances, you know, roster depth, roster this, roster, you know, everything and anything. They get, and at the same time, who owns them but, of course, the Corona Beer Company. But besides that, when they changed the broadcasters to a different person, what happened once that 2-1 goal was scored, which became 3-2 on aggregate? The male broadcaster, and I forgot his name, but he goes completely bonkers. And he destroys the Red Bulls because he's cheering for Santos Laguna to take a lead in the aggregate. And he keeps on going and going with three more goals being scored by Laguna. They won the match 4-2. They win it on aggregate 6-2. But those four goals that Laguna scored, the broadcaster, the play-by-play man, went completely bonkers intentionally. And that is what you cannot have. We're not saying you can't yell goal. We're not saying you cannot go over the top. But if you do so in a professional manner, then you know what? That's fine. If you did it for one side, you have to do it for the other. That's not what happened. And that's where I got mad and I got angry, because we did not see a broadcaster being fair and down the middle. Even though the Red Bulls did not score in the second half, still, though, if they did, I wanted to see the comparison. Not because they changed broadcasters, but I wanted to see, I wanted to see for myself, what would happen if the Red Bulls made it 3-0 on Santos Laguna, and they're leading not just the aggregate 3-2, but they're leading away goals 3-2. What would have happened then? That's what I wanted to see. I understand it's Spanish language television. I understand who their audience is, but at the same time, you're sitting there, you're watching this, and you're thinking to yourself, where is the professionalism? Nowhere to be found. And that's what bothers me. That's what hurts. That's what makes me feel like, you know, when you're watching these games and there's no, you know, give or take here. There's no two-way street here. She went two ways. He did not. You know, when the Red Bulls made their run in the CONCACAF Champions League the year before, when Jesse Marsh was still the head coach of the club, you heard a broadcaster going fair and down the middle, both at the Caliente, the Estadio Caliente, where the Zolos are, Club Tijuana, and then back at Red Bull Arena. It was 2-0 on the road for the Red Bulls, two away goals, fair and down the middle. when Club Tijuana came to Red Bull Arena, the Zolos made it 2-1 on aggregate. And then the Red Bulls poured it on to make it 3-1 in the match, 5-1 on aggregate. Obviously, I was at Red Bull Arena in the press box, but when I came home to listen to the match and, you know, listen to the commentary, fair and down the middle. Fair and down the middle for both sides. And I was very pleased. I was happy. Very, very happy. And I had no complaints. Even in the games against Guadalajara, the Chivas of Guadalajara, both matches were fair and down the middle by the broadcaster. That's what you want from a national broadcast. Forget about, oh, well, you know, they speak Spanish, so I can go as crazy as I want. No, that's not what you have to do. You have to remind them. You have to tell these people. And these are probably the lower, like the fourth string, fifth string people that are doing the broadcasts. You tell them. Do your goal call. Do this, do that, but do not make it sound like you are biased. And you're pulling for Santos Laguna, or you're pulling for the Liga MX side. You want to be fair and down the middle because American soccer fans are watching this broadcast. But that's why I'm happy that Fox Sports is going to be involved now. You're going to get Stu Holden. You're going to get John Strong. You're going to probably get Alexei Lawless and JP Della Camera. Maybe even Tony Miola, maybe even Kobe Jones, maybe we'll get another broadcaster. The truth is that right now we are seeing excellent moments here that both CONCACAF and Fox Sports are back together again, a brand new broadcasting deal, and yes, the CONCACAF Champions League is involved, and that is what we need. It's easy to get broadcasting rights for the UEFA Champions League. It's up to those broadcasters to make the coverage worthwhile. TNT Sports has failed. After they're done with the UEFA Champions League, CBS Sports will take over. And hopefully CBS Sports will be a better fit. It's not the fault of the broadcasters because we know who they are, and they've done a fantastic job. But sadly, the coverage from Turner has completely screwed it up. Because why? Because of the whole Bleacher Report, you have to pay for one match and you can't bounce around. That's the problem. That is the biggest problem of them all, because you're only expecting to pay for one match and one match only. You want to pay for two matches? You got to pay for two matches. You can't bounce around. It's a failure. And what they don't want to understand is everyone that goes to the bar, to the pubs, to watch these games free of no charge, they're not able to because why? Because you got to pay Bleacher Report the money for the stream. One stream, one game. That's a shame. That's a big, big shame because it's a big talking point when you see the UEFA Champions League. Copa Libertadores, same thing. Thankfully, we don't have to worry so much about that through either Fox Sports or BN Sports in their Spanish language department, or even maybe even Gold TV if it's still around. What we need here is more exposure, more coverage, because what we need to see are our clubs in MLS, American and Canadian. Of course, we know Montreal is going to be in it this year. Atlanta United, Seattle Sounders, New York City FC. And there's one more club. I keep forgetting who that is. But anyway, as I'm saying, we need to make sure. We need to make sure that our clubs are going to be involved in this. And all I can say is that it's a wonderful thing to see. It's a wonderful thing to have. And all I can say is that it's about time. About time. That we have that CONCACAF Champions League back in English language broadcasts. Folks, now it's up to you to prove to them that this is important. Now it's important for you guys to go out, Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports 2, maybe even Fox Sports itself on wherever your main Fox National Broadcasting channel is. I know in New York it's Channel 5. But now it's time for you guys, and even on the app, the Fox Sports app, it's time for you guys to go out and prove to everyone at Fox Sports that it's worth the time to broadcast these games in English language. Okay? It has to be done. It's got to be done. We have to pull together and do it. That's all I can say. This is all I can say because where else can you get great coverage of these tournaments, whether it is within MLS, U.S. Soccer, and CONCACAF, the Four Eastern Fire American Soccer Show? Join me Fridays after a week of CONCACAF Champions League action. As we get those supporters, and let's not forget Mr. John Jagu, talking about these clubs in the CONCACAF Champions League, as it will begin the back end of February. First leg, second leg. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be a lot of fun. And thank you once again to Fox Sports making this deal with CONCACAF. Not just for the Gold Cup tournaments, not just for the men's and women's Olympic qualifying tournaments, but bringing back CONCACAF Champions League broadcasts. Very excited, very happy, and I, for one, am ecstatic that we're going to have all levels of CONCACAF now on Fox Sports. It had to be done. And hopefully, we'll get a studio show before half and after these games. Because it has to happen. It has to happen. That's going to be exciting. It's going to be a lot of fun. Cannot wait. Now, once again, group stage games for the women's Olympic qualifying will be January 28th through February 3rd. And, of course, these matches will be over in Houston, Texas. But the final will be on February the 9th for the Women's Olympic Qualifying Tournament. March the 20th through April the 1st will be the Men's Olympic Qualifying Tournament. Now, once again, the top two teams in each group will advance to the semifinals. One will face two. One in A will face 1A will face 2B, 1B will face 2A. Whoever wins that semifinal match will go to the Olympics in Tokyo this summer. And then, of course, the final match will be on April 1st to see who will win the Olympic qualifying tournament as a whole. But the first and foremost thing that our Olympic team, they'll be qualifying for that Olympic spot. That is first things first. Finish the top two in the group. Win your semifinal round to go to the Olympics, to go to Tokyo in 2020. And then, only then, can we say United States is finally back in the international tournament, going for gold in the Olympic Games. I cannot wait to see that. I cannot wait to watch it. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be a lot of fun. And you know what, folks? Why not? let's have some fun, shall we? I know I can't wait. So next week, we're going to begin the MLS 2020 preview shows. We're going to start off in the Western Conference on Monday, February the 3rd. And then we'll finish off the Western Conference on Monday, February the 10th. We'll go into the East on February the 17th. And then we'll finish off the East on February the 24th. February's 21st and 28th will be the review shows for the CONCACAF Champions League Round of 16 first and second legs. And then, of course, the MLS season begins on February the 29th. It's a leap year. And Sunday, March the 1st, and then, of course, we get it on. Get it on going strong. It's going to be exciting to watch. Cannot wait to see what's going to happen. And it should be a lot of fun. And we'll have some fun and see what's going to happen. So as we get ready for fun in the sun, it's going to be exciting, and I cannot wait to get this thing going as well. Now, also, just to remind everyone, on March the 2nd, USL Championship Preview Show, a full hour, previewing the second division of American soccer, the USL Championship League. And we'll get those that cover their clubs getting ready for that second division. And we'll see what will happen for this upcoming season. It should be exciting. It should be a lot of fun. And, we're going to have some fun here. Have a good time. And we'll see what will happen as we move on. Outside of that, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. Well, that is all for tonight's show. I want to thank my guest tonight, Stephen Wagoner, owner of Virginia Beach City FC, as well as a member of the Board of Governors of the NPSL. And, of course, passing along the news of the brand-new broadcasting deal between Fox Sports and CONCACAF. It should be a lot of fun for these next three seasons. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much for listening to me tonight. And as always, please enjoy your football. Thank you. Have a good night. Take care. So long, and bye-bye for now. Have a good night, everybody.